So today we've got Miguel Gonzalez from Society.
It's actually Miguel Angel Gonzalez de la Torre Juan Pedro Ramirez, Game Over Junior.
Alex War.
Hello.
And Georgia Laughlin.
The Little Wife.
The Little Wife. So excited to have you guys here today. I've wanted to have Miguel on the podcast for since the day we did it. We met at Society, naturally. I think you spend a lot of your time there. But kind of want to talk about, you know, your relationship with those guys and how you got involved at Society and then what the journey's been like and kind of your role there now. So let's jump into it.
Yeah. I met Jeremy when he was working at Gringo's, when he was bartending, I want to say. And then my friends and I would go there every Tuesday, do trivia, and then we just slowly became friends. He would come see me over at Compadres in Liberty, and then eventually I got the job at Ray's, and he was working at On the Rocks, and then he started working with me at Ray's also. And then he's been working on this project for a while now, and it was actually before COVID. I remember we went to the building and he was just like, yo, man, like, we're going to do it. Like, this is it. He's like, I want you to be part of the team. I was like, hell yeah, man. Of course. Like, without a doubt, you get to work with one of the best in the business. I can honestly say that.
So awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how, I mean, you kind of walked through that journey with him as he became that title, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, you know, Jeremy's great, but I think also there's a lot of value of what you bring, and you're one of the best in the business. And I think that's kind of the key for Society, is that it's not just Jeremy, it's not just Chris, and it's not just Miguel or anybody else on the team. It's a combined force of people moving in the same direction with the same kind of belief system to do a thing, to do a really cool thing. And it's one of the most unique places, I think, in Society, or in Greenville. And I think that's why, I mean, every time we're in town, we have guests in town, or if we're doing some event with Tabby, it's like, hey, have you been to Society? We have to go there. So I think it's, I admire a lot what you guys are doing there. So what is your role at Society now?
I'm one of the front of the house managers.
Okay. Walk me through that.
What's a
day in the life?
Honestly, there's always something. There's always, something's got to be ordered. Something's always popping up. Like, I'm always busy. There's never a boring shift. Someone's calling because of overcharge or credit card machines are going down. Inventory is a long process. We sell so much alcohol. It is crazy. Like, it'll be like my whole morning shift. It'll take me a solid 4 hours. Knock out both floors with all that inventory. So all the bottles, wine, beer. It's a lot of manual labor. I'm like the...
You're the backbone.
Yeah, in a way.
The muscle.
I'll take that. I like that better.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yeah, it's fun though, man. You get to meet a lot of really cool people. And it's great hearing everyone say like, hey, all your hard work is paying off. This place is great. And it's like, cool, you know?
It really is. It's, you go, every time I'm there, whether it's, I mean, Tuesdays have blown up.
Tiki Tuesdays.
Tiki Tuesdays have blown up. But I mean, any Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, it's standing room only past 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, I'm sure that fluctuates. Even you go there for lunch during the week, it's like full house. I think the thing that's impressive compared to the other places downtown in Greenville, and a lot of them do really well, but one thing that Society does extremely well is no matter how busy you are, it seems like things just run smoothly. And I'm sure for you, it's like, this is chaos. Everything is going wrong. But it's kind of, there's an old saying in the service industry of like, be the duck you know, the duck on top of the water looks like this smooth, cool, calm, collected thing, but underwater it is just kicking like hell.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, you know, the appearance you want to give to your customer is like, shit is falling apart.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Shit is falling apart behind the scenes, and the customers never know.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell.
So I think that's pretty cool. So Alex, what do you do?
I am a waitress at Cracker Barrel at the moment.
Okay.
So I've been there for way too long, 7 years, but but yeah, so that's pretty much what I do at the moment.
So Cracker Barrel is one, we were kind of talking about it before the show. Mm-hmm. Cracker Barrel, like Waffle House, mm-hmm. that I was at for, I think, 7 years. There's a very unique thing about those two organizations and the company that they've kind of created, from associate buy-in.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been there 7 years. Very few places retain their people for that long.
Yeah.
So why 7 years? What's kind of been the thing that said, I'm going to stay here and continue to do this?
So just like most corporations and other companies in general, I feel like each place you work at, it doesn't matter. Like each Cracker Barrel you go to is going to be different. I'm lucky and fortunate enough that the Cracker Barrel I work at is actually one of the best in our region, the best actually. So it's a lot more organized than most places. I mean, it might not seem like it, but yeah, so it's a lot more organized and it just seems to be ran a lot smoother, because I have worked at other Cracker Barrels just to fill in and I never want to again. Yeah. It's really bad, but also the money is really good. And I like the fast paced of it. Like that's probably one of my favorite parts. Like I fine dining is cool and all, but I really do enjoy like working really quickly and serving guests quickly.
Yeah. I think the quick service or really, I think they would define themselves as fast casual.
Yeah.
Probably. And that the 20-minute table turn, 20 to 30-minute table turn versus 2 hours with the same people the whole night.
Yeah.
It's, there is a difference, but you're also, I mean, 7 years, you're good at what you do. You've got all the stars.
I hope so, yeah. Well, actually, no. They get on to me about that all the time. I do not. I need to, though.
How do you get the stars?
So you have to take a test every time. And then you get, like, a 10-cent raise whenever you do it. But as a server, you know, you don't really see that hourly rate. So, yeah, and there's other benefits that go along with it, too, that make it more beneficial. But I've already received those benefits. Because after you're at 3 stars, you get the benefits. So it's like a 2-week paid vacation, so that's nice. And then you get a $100 gift card over the holidays, which is cool. So yeah,
that, you know, there's a lot of servers don't, a lot of people don't think about that. It's a lot of servers just throw their paycheck away. Yeah. I mean, they obviously don't, but it's such a nominal thing. It's really the benefits are great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the hourly, it's the tips, it's not the hourly wage.
I feel like a lot of other restaurants don't offer a lot of benefits like this. You can also get help, like insurance through them as well if you work full time. So I haven't heard of that through really anywhere else. But yeah, so they offer a lot of benefits. The people I work with are great. I mean, at this point, they're like my family. So
which restaurant are you at? Do you want to?
Woodruff Road.
Woodruff Road?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of restaurant, that's restaurant central.
Yeah, it's a good area. That's
those,
for sure.
For those kind of chains.
Good for business.
So.
And we sell alcohol now, so that's good.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that? We sell mimosas, beer, and wine.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're going to Cracker Barrel this weekend.
Yeah, please do. But, yeah.
Are you working tomorrow?
Usually, yes, but I'm actually not.
Oh,
but okay. I work Saturday through Wednesday.
I was going to say, we would come have brunch. But.
Let's go for brunch next weekend.
Yes, please do. I will be there.
That's awesome. Well, Georgia, what are you working on these days? The Little Wife.
The Little Wife. That's jokingly my nickname that I gave myself.
Well, your actual nickname is what?
King Georgia Ruler Supreme.
Yeah.
And I take that title very seriously.
She does.
As you should.
I do, yeah.
Therefore, I have to take it very seriously.
He tried to insist. He was like, wait, but you, wouldn't it be Queen? And I was like, you're missing the point here entirely.
Yeah, I lost that one.
Is she a great ruler, though?
Yeah.
I am. Great. My subjects,
like Xerxes?
My subjects really like me.
Yeah.
So I'll tell that goofy story because we're on it. My parents are wonderful, amazing humans. And I have 2 hilarious brothers. And my parents live in Maryland. And at their house, there's like a balcony that kind of overlooks the main area. And so I don't even remember how.
It's like a catwalk.
Yeah. I don't remember how or when it started, but one time I came home and I decided that I would make a proclamation from the balcony, and I demanded that my subjects gather, and they did. So now when I go back to visit, I announce that their king is about to make a proclamation, and she would very much like for her subjects to gather. And my dutiful family lines up with mimosas or Irish coffee or whatever the weekend beverage is. And now my husband is one of the ones happy to line up, and I make proclamations about what will happen that day, and then we go about our business.
It sounds like a great life.
I know, right?
I don't know why the people that love me put up with my shenanigans, but they do. Anywho, I am a mental health therapist. So I do therapy. That's my thing. He knows that. I live with him. I do therapy.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that?
For a very long time. It seems like I graduated with my master's in 2015 and then went traveling around the world. I waitressed in Australia and New Zealand. So that was neat, especially now helping Brad with Tabby and trying to work through how it can work best for servers and for restaurants and stuff, having seen how the service industry goes in other places. That has been helpful, well, I think.
I was going to say that. I think that's something we all have in common, is that we've worked in the service industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my transition to being full-time at Tabby and developing this app, that is very driven towards the service industry. And I think there's a lot of people in tech, specifically the West Coast and kind of, you know, Austin, Texas, Atlanta, the tech hubs, they're creating software. There's a lot of restaurant tech that is created by people that have no idea what it's actually like behind the counter, what it's actually like to be waiting tables or bartending or pushing food out of a kitchen. And I think that's kind of the unique angle that we've been able to bring. And we have the understanding of operations and what it actually, like, as Tabby grows into potentially ways for people to clock in and out, and potentially for inventory purposes and automating some of those steps, you have to understand what it's like in the industry before you can create the technology to help automate things. So I want to start with you, Society, funniest bartender experience you've had there.
At Society?
At Society. It's like one of the things that you, so as a bartender, you see everything. You mm-hmm. see the awkward first date that met on Tinder. You see the two guys that try to, you know, bow their chest up and have the fight.
I'm curious for like years in general, because Society has been open for a couple of years now, but you've been in the industry for.
Society, we're going on year one.
Really? I feel like you opened.
May 4th.
May 4th is the year.
Oh, wow. Gosh. It seems like it's been open longer than that. But so that's such a short span. I wonder your whole career in the service industry. Like, there's got to be good stories.
Some stories. My favorite work story is doing shots with Aaron Rodgers. That's my favorite work story.
Well, that's impressive. Yeah. Little name drop.
Working at Ray's. Okay. It was the BMW Pro-Am. It was a Saturday night. We're packed. We're three deep. There's three bartenders behind the bar and the main bar. And my manager at the time, Anna, she was like the manager on duty. She was like, "Hey, look, there's that Aaron Rodgers guy." And I see him. I'm like, "Holy crap, it's Aaron Rodgers." He's just chilling there.
The,
like,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the guy's the MVP. He's like, what, back-to-back MVP now?
Yeah. No, he's one of the best.
Story gets better.
He's one of the best. He's one of the best to ever play the game.
Ever. So I see him. And I'm like, "Yo, Aaron." And he's like, I'm like, "You're the fucking man." He's like, "Thanks." I was like, "You want to do a shot?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "What do you like?" He's like, "Tequila." I was like, "All right." So I pour up two shots of Don Julio. And I'm like, "Cheers, man." He's like, "Thanks." I'm like, "No, thank you." And my coworker Sam comes up to me. He's a big Giants fan. He's like, dude, did you just do shots with Aaron Rodgers? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you think he wants another one? I was like, probably. He's like, I'll just pour him up right now. I'm like, all right. I'm like, yo, Aaron. He's like, what's up? I'm like, you want to do another shot? My buddy wants to do one. He's like, all right.
He probably loves this.
And so, like, we do another shot with Aaron Rodgers. And we're just, like, freaking out. I'm like, I'm a Falcons fan. We suck. And he's like, I'm a Giants fan. Blah, blah, blah. And like I said, we're busy as hell. My coworker, Ashley, she doesn't give a damn about sports. She comes up. He's like, hey, when you two are done sucking Aaron Rodgers, I got all these other people that need drinks. I was like, all right.
I mean, what do you do? You take that opportunity. Yeah. Shoot or shoot. You have to take that shot.
I did, and I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really funny. But like,
funniest? Oh, man.
So I had a restaurant. I want to go back to the funniest, but I had a restaurant that was across the street or across the river from the Bengals Stadium, right in Northern Kentucky. And Waffle House, 3 a.m., there's always crazy stuff happening. But a lot of the players from the Bengals would come and give, you know, we always saw them. They'd bring the whole crew. They'd come in. They were always super professional. You always recognize them because they're the biggest guys in the room. And then, you know, they would take care of the servers and it was always really cool, but they were like that. They had, some of them had like traditions where certain game days they would come, we would get orders for like 100 All-Stars to go. And like somebody would pull up in a $200,000 Range Rover, tint it out. Two guys would hop out, grab 100 All-Stars and take off. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I read that Roddy White would eat at Waffle House before every single game.
Every game.
I mean, who doesn't like Waffle House? I
know. Waffle House is great. Good.
It's the most magical place in Atlanta.
Well, and I'm, you know, everybody, and no matter where you work in the service industry, has frustrating days. But I think, kind of like you with Cracker Barrel, I was at Waffle House for years and have a very positive opinion of the company. And
yeah,
you know, sometimes the job just sucks. You're dealing with the public, but from a company standpoint, it was a really great time I had there.
I feel like the positives outweigh the negatives most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most funny night you've had
at Society. I wouldn't say it's like customer based. It's honestly like my coworkers. Like I have awesome coworkers, man. Like honestly, these people are great. They're great at what they do. And for some reason, they love fart songs. I'm not kidding. At the end of our shifts, like Friday and Saturday tonight, probably I'm going to hear the fart song by Mr. Farts.
I'm not familiar with this.
It's a Mr. Fart song, and they just it sounds like early 90s pop fart song. And like for some reason they just that's a new tradition. And so after close, it's like, all right, time to play Mr. Farts. And they all know that I don't love it. I don't hate it. I love that they love it. But I mean, just hearing farts over and over, it gets tiring.
That's so funny.
That's funny that it's like your end of shift ritual, though.
They're like, all right.
It's like as much as you hate it, you're like, all right.
Time to listen to Mr. Farts. That's funny.
You guys have had like zero turnover there, right?
We've had a couple.
I feel like I always see the same people there, though, when I'm there. So, Alex, what's your funniest, sort of most awkward thinking back, something that stands out in 7 years of waiting tables at a Cracker Barrel, you've seen some stuff.
Oh, definitely. I've definitely seen a lot of things. I have a lot of stories. I think one of my, you probably already know what I'm going to say, but one of my most embarrassing stories on my part. So I don't know. We have pre-hard boiled eggs for salads that you just cut in half, like most places do, I guess. We can't, like, we don't boil our eggs. Of course we use shell eggs, but we don't boil those. And so I was new there. It was probably like my first couple months, and I was 17 when I started. And so one of my friends, David, he still works there as well. This customer ordered a hard boiled egg, and I was like, well, we have eggs. I assume we can get hard boiled eggs, right? And so I asked David, I said, hey, we're really busy in the middle of a rush. I said, hey, where do I get hard boiled eggs? Cause a customer wants it. I know we can do it. I just, you know, like, where do I get it? He's like, okay, so cooler, first thing to your right, get it, you put it in hot water, and then you like serve it to him. And I was like, okay, yeah. So I go to the cooler. I did everything he said. I put it in. I got the hot water from the coffee machine, and I put it in hot water. Mind you, the first thing in our cooler to the right is actual shell eggs. So I grab those, and I put it, not boiling water, by the way, which would make sense, hot water. And so I sit it there, and I give it to the customer, and the customer, like, cracks it, like, and of course it's not boiled at all. And so they crack it all over their food, and they're very upset. Like, they don't take it lightly either. And I'm just, like, young and new. This is my first restaurant job, and I'm just like, oh. And I, the worst part is I didn't even understand why it didn't work. I was just like, huh, well, I did what he said. So I took it back, and then I just showed David. I was like, hey, like, I did what you said. Like, what? He's like, oh my gosh. And he just like started dying laughing. The manager started dying laughing. They're like, you got an actual egg? And I was like, well, do we have anything else? And he was like, yeah, you know what we use for salads? Hard boiled eggs. You put that in hot water so it's warm. And I was like, I didn't know where those were. He's like, to the right of them, like literally right above the real eggs. So yeah, those same people actually did come back and requested not to sit with me. Like, I apologized and everything. I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm new. I really thought that that's what, you know, that's a coworker told me to do. And they were just like, not coming here. And so they came back, and the host was like, yeah, they asked not to sit with you. And I was like, oh. Okay. But yeah, that was probably really embarrassing. And they took a picture. We have like a Facebook page, and they posted on the Facebook page and everything to let people know what I did. And yeah.
That might be one of the best stories ever told on Savvy Hour.
It's pretty good. I don't know if I'm so happy
I
can, that.
I mean, like, the way you just, I saw that whole story in my head unfold.
Oh, okay, good.
Like, I was in the cooler.
Yeah. Looking
I'm
around.
Looking for the eggs. And I'm like, okay, they're right there. Grab an egg, super throw it in busy, the hot water. Yeah. Makes sense.
In the middle of a rush, I was like, yeah, like I didn't even have time to think. I was like, eggs, cool, yeah, go. Like,
well, and so as a manager at Waffle House for years, mm-hmm. I taught a lot of people how to cook, and you would get and serve. And so you would get 17, 18 year old kids. Mm-hmm. That's their first job, sometimes 15, that it's their first job. And it's like, oh, bless.
That's probably what they thought of me. It was, they told me, they're like, you got good randomly. Like, they're like, we yeah. were really concerned about you. And then one day we're like, wait, she can handle a full section. I was like, I don't know what happened. The hard boiled egg changed me.
That's so funny. Do you have any hard boiled egg stories from waitressing?
I have two stories where I messed up, and it was kind of funny. The first one, my first waitressing job in college, it was actually called the Georgia House, and then it changed to...
Did you rule that kingdom also?
You know what? I wasn't King Georgia Ruler Supreme yet. I had not gone into that title, so it wasn't yet. But it was actually, I think, like a chain of maybe three restaurants, but they kind of split off, and the owner, Mr. Paul, renamed it and rebranded Mr. Paul's Legacy. I am not sure. He might have passed away, and it's really sad. But the managers were, I believe, his stepsons, Jay and Rick Prowse, really, really wonderful people. And they were so patient. And I'm squirrely as I'll get out. So like remembering to do things in order, and I'm looking at you cause you're like, ha ha. not always excellent at that. But I was, I don't know, probably like 19, something like that. And my chore one morning, was to make the tea, like the big gallons of tea before Sunday brunch. And I was like, okay, I got this. I'm going to do all this. And then they had these really awesome, like, sweet potato rolls that were fantastic, but we had to like scoop them out and help put them on the baking trays and stuff. And I was like rushing to do all that. So I set all the tea makers, and pushed on all of them, and then went to like the other part of the kitchen to start doing the rolls and stuff. And we were getting ready to open, and we were always so busy for brunch. And I hear someone walk into the area where we had drinks and just start screaming. And I was like, oh dear, what happened?
There weren't decanters under any of the tea makers. Yeah.
So I go in there.
I've seen that too many times.
And I had, It was everywhere. It was everywhere. And I like had left the bags of sugar for the sweet tea sitting on the counter. So those were just like, they sucked up all the moisture and were just like sticky, gluey mess everywhere. Oh, and brunch goodness. Was starting and we had no tea. And the whole back station was like slippery and wet and sticky. And it had gotten all over all of the clean cups. It was this like... really epic mess up, and I was so embarrassed and I was so worried that everyone was going to be so mad at me. And I think Jay was working that day and he like took me aside and he's like, Georgia, it's okay. You didn't mean to. It's okay. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I like hyperventilating. And he was like, it's okay. It really is. I need you to go be charming and just make small talk.
So I actually have another funny story that actually happened this morning that just came to me. But this morning I was serving and I had this little kid, probably about 5 years old, and it was a table of five, had another, you know, two brothers and dad, and he was definitely the youngest one. And so I always try to let the kids order for themselves. So I said, what can I get for you? And the mom was like, yeah, order for yourself, you know, encouraging him. He's like, okay. He goes, I'll have the fucking pancakes. And I was like, do not laugh. Just keep it cool. And then the dad started laughing. I was like, okay, it's funny. And so I started laughing. And then the mom turns to the dad, her husband, was like, that is not funny. He's going. So she took the kid and went somewhere else. I was like, someone is not getting pancakes. I can tell you that much. And then all the brothers and the guys were laughing. And I was like, I feel like I can laugh now because they're gone. I was like, I'm sorry, but that was hilarious.
The confidence, though.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew what he wanted.
Yeah. He knew what he wanted, and he wanted it.
And he
it
wanted
really,
it now.
Yeah.
He'd had kids, a rough Friday night, and say, he just really needed those pancakes.
Just the smile on his face. He was so happy. I don't know what went into the thought process of him doing that, if it was a bet from his brothers, or if he just felt very confident about these pancakes, and he just really wanted them.
Did he ever get them?
No, actually, he did not get the pancakes. He ended up just getting biscuits anyway, but yeah. He came back.
Yeah.
He was quiet the entire time, but he was back.
I have an adult temper tantrum.
Okay.
Which was actually, I think, my last time bartending ever. So I generally, in all of the restaurants I ever worked in, was a waitress because I am talkative and I will talk to the people. But I would, like, where I worked in Australia, I'd hop behind the bar there. And same thing with the restaurant that I worked at in New Zealand called Spates Ale House. Shout out to Gareth. Hope you're doing well. But I was helping with the bar one night, and they had this band inside. It was so loud. And this woman came up, and it was tough for me with the loud music to, like, understand the accent sometimes, or I had the accent. They were speaking normally for them. For me, it was hard to, like, decipher. And she, like, shouts this drink at me, and I, like, didn't understand her. And I was like, can you say that again? And she, like, is so annoyed with me for not understanding. And so she shouts it again, and I was like, okay. So I asked my manager, like, hey, how do I put this in the till? And we had someone that was on the cocktail station that was mixing all of the cocktails. And I had never heard of this drink, but he was like, oh yeah, just put it under this. And I was like, okay, great. Cause I'm just pouring beers. And a couple minutes later, she comes back. She's like, where's the, and I couldn't hear her and it was loud. And I was like, he's still working on them. Like, just give me a minute. Like, I'll go check. And they weren't up. So I was like, he's still working on him. And she comes back like three or four times and she's like irate, like ready to come over the bar at me. She's like saying that I pocketed her money and all of this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, what?
That's a whole other category.
It was right. It was
coworker problems.
Oh, with I like him shaky thinking about it. But she was like so angry with me. Well, turns out it was not a cocktail. It was a very common shot that I should have just been able to pour and hand over to her. And I was like, I don't know, they're not ready yet. And she was like, just pour them. So I totally, now looking back, I like understand her frustration because I took like $50 off this woman and just put it in the till. And I was like, yep, have a good night. Because I thought,
she's like, I need the shot clearly.
Like, right, I thought someone else was going to hand them to her. And I was like, that's, that's not my job anymore. She was like,
thanks for your money.
Yeah.
She was like, where are my drinks? And I was like, lady, I don't know. But like,
I don't even work here.
She's like, you order drinks?
Like, please be patient. Like, the mixologist will get to it in a second. That was my last bartending shift. But my manager, yeah, did not put me on any more fill-in for the bar shifts after that.
So I think it's interesting. Roy and I were talking about this the other night. There's a big difference in a bartender that you can just throw behind the bar and like a bartender that really knows how to like, you guys are making craft cocktails at Society. Exile, Steven, those guys are making craft cocktails. Paloma, there's a lot of places in town doing that. I think what is the, you know, how does, as the front of house manager, one of the front of house managers at Society, what is that process like for you to bring in a new employee, 23 years old, 22 years old, and teach them, hey, you check all the boxes that we need you to do. You know, you're good at customer service, you're friendly, you're outgoing, you've got all the kind of prerequisites, but you don't know how to bartend. Would you hire them if they don't know how to bartend? And if they were, you know, really good at all the other things and you want to make them a good bartender, what does that process look like from teaching somebody that knows how to make a gin and tonic into this is how we make craft cocktails?
I personally am a hands-on learner, so that's how I like to teach. And cocktails are easy, man. I mean, Ben and Oscar write it up so easy. It's like baking. You know, you get the exact pours, put it all in the shaker, shake it up, do that, dress it up this way. It's simple.
Well, my father-in-law has a man rule.
I was just going to say that.
If you can read, you can cook.
Yeah.
So if you can read, you can bartend.
Mm-hmm. Anything can be taught. And honestly, if you're new, perfect. I could get to teach you the way I bartend.
Oh, that's so... There's times that I've hired people that have tons of experience that almost want to come to your brand and do it other people's way. It's almost better to hire somebody with no experience. And sometimes. So you have a blank slate to kind of say, hey, I want to teach you my way.
I also like learning from other people because I've had like so many different coworkers that I respect like a shitload, dude. Like I've worked with some badass people.
Yeah.
Like some hardworking, smart people. And so like I try to imitate them.
I feel like the hospitality industry is full of people like that. Like you don't last very long if you're lazy or if 100%. You can't kind of learn on the go. Like there's... You just don't make it.
We've talked a lot about how that should be like a 1 year prerequisite to being an adult.
Yeah.
Of like learn how to deal with the public, learn how to like work really hard. Like it is real. You learn a lot in the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
You really do.
I have a question that I have thought of that I'm interested to know. If you guys could make a law, like create a law and immediately pass it, that has to do with like bars, restaurants, the hospitality industry, the way customers have to act, the way bartenders or servers, something about that. If you could like snap your fingers and
so I think
make a law, what would it be?
I have a question within the question.
Okay.
Is it a law or is it a like just something societally understood?
I guess
either. What does King Georgia
listen, proclaim? I'm real into ruling over here. I think it was Morgan Asbell on one of the previous podcasts where you guys talked about how like in Switzerland everyone has to serve some military time. Like talking about how like in America everyone should have to work in the service industry.
That's
at some point.
I was gonna say at least 3 months. Like
I bet you people would treat people different, hopefully in a better way.
So it's interesting. When you get a bad tip from somebody that you provided good service to, you know in the back of your head that they'd never spent a day in the service industry because they've never been there. Even things, there's times, and you, everybody is always evaluating themselves. There's times that it's like, I was so busy, I really didn't like spend as much time with that table as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe that food, we had so many that plates coming at the same
work. Like anxiety, you're like, I forgot to give them this.
Your dreams, you know, like you're laying in bed, and you're like, oh my god, I forgot the ketchup.
Happened
table 33, the ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
Every
that's
day.
So common.
Or like that person asked for straws 7 times,
yeah, and you're like, they were so nice, and you're like, oh dang.
Did I lock the door?
Yeah. Did I set the alarm? Did I lock the door? I think. Did I order this?
Yeah, turn that light off.
I think that, you know, so when I go out and serve, and this is something for Tabby with like. The way we've set up the tab closure is the default predetermined tip is 25%. 20 to 25% yeah. to me is the minimum.
That's great.
Tipping. Now, obviously, we have to give the customer the freedom to go in and change to whatever they want, whether it be zero. But the default user interface that is comfortable to mm-hmm. flow through is 25%. Because people in this, and we would adjust that as we scale into states that have different minimum wage laws. But in the Southeast specifically, servers and bartenders don't get paid enough of an hourly wage that's even close to livable. Therefore, they rely on their craft to be really good at what they do to make tips. And it's disgusting when I see people that are like, tip $1 or $2 on like a $30 bill. It's like, what? Who raised you?
Right. Yeah. You know, I would like to add something to that actually, because so my friends out in Nevada, when they serve, they get paid $8 an hour plus their tips. But that is mostly taxed out as well. But here, my uncle actually is born and raised here. And he, you know, ever since I started working in the service industry, I was telling him about how we only make $2.13 an hour. And he was surprised. Like, he was like, oh, well, I didn't tip that much because I thought you guys made minimum or like, you know, minimum wage or more. And I was like, no, like, and we don't even see that it's taxed out. So I feel like a lot of times people actually don't believe, even when I told my friends in Nevada that I made $2.13 an hour, they're like, is that legal? And I was like, out here, yes. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like a lot of people also don't know too, like that we make that much or, you know.
I've seen a server or bartender work, you know, 40 hours a week for 2 weeks and come home with a check that's like $125.
Yeah.
It's like, and then that's taxed.
Mm-hmm.
So, the bring home is like $65 for 2 weeks. Mm. And they worked 80 hours. They live off of tips. It's just, it's unfortunately mm-hmm. the way it is. So
I was gonna say, you did ask the question. So like, what would your rule be? Because I'm interested to know, because I felt like you had a strong rule.
I did have a strong rule. My strong, I guess, rule, maybe not law, but rule would be that, especially in large groups, once you sit in a seat as a customer, you're not allowed to change seats. You're not allowed to move. Oh, goodness.
That's such a good one.
Like, you are married to that seat. I hope you like the person that you're sitting next to.
Until you leave, that is your seat.
That yeah, you exactly. can't. If you get up to go to the bathroom, that's fine. But you had better come and sit your butt right back down where you were and not talk to someone on the other side of the table. You sit down.
That's so funny. Because I'm conscious of that, as a customer. Because I will go to the bartender or server. Like, if we decide to move tables, which I rarely do. Yeah. But if we decide to move, like, even in a bar setting, we're going to move tables, I'll go like, hey, man, just so you know, we're
playing musical chairs.
As long as it's acknowledged, as long as I don't come out with 3 big plates of food, like.
And then they start auctioning.
Yeah, I was like, don't get mad when they auction because we move chairs, okay? Like,
yeah. People get so mad if you try to auction food off. Sometimes. Oh, yeah. Some people never notice it. But if you come up like, who had the, it's like, why don't you know? Oh, I don't know, because I have 25 people that I'm taking care of right now.
I had that happen this morning. I had some guy, he's like, we switched seats on you. And I was like, yeah, that's real cute. Okay, I need to restart this. Like, you don't understand my process.
From the top. Right.
Oh, yeah. And now you want to split tabs based that's on exactly who was sitting where?
Like, so I'm with her. I'm like, then why aren't you sitting with her?
So that's the, I honestly think for the waitress, server, bartender, splitting tabs with Tabby is the biggest problem that we solve for you guys as the bartender and server. Imagine if, like, you never had to think about how many tabs it's on or who had what or any of that. It's just, like, whoever had the items can own that portion of the tab themselves within the app, and they can, the customers can decide.
That's so genius.
Your part is done. Like, you just, you bring them the food, you bring them the drinks, you provide great service that you already are doing, but you can continue to move on to next, the next staff or to the next customer. So you don't have to worry about, oh, you're leaving. Well, it's time for you to leave. Close your tab and leave. Why do I have to grab your, bring you the receipt, grab a card, go back to the POS, swipe, split items, swipe, split items, swipe.
Both parties bring it back a lot of time.
Yeah. And then they have to sign with a pen that you give them that everybody's touched.
Well, but before that point, they're upset because someone has someone's French fries and someone got someone else's.
That's a whole deal. And I'm like, Venmo's a thing. Like, we can.
Well, and so, yeah, that's the norm.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pick this one up and we'll Venmo. And then everybody wants to get itemized receipts.
Yeah.
It's just way easier if you can just close the tab.
That's one thing I will say I like about Cracker Barrel is we don't take payments at the table. It's bittersweet, but I just like to be like, hey, have fun.
That's true. They push you to the front counter.
Yes. Yeah. So we do have to split the checks, but our system's pretty easy about that. But yeah, so I just go to the front. And that's one thing that I feel like Tabby will be really.
You guys use Aloha?
No, we do not. We use POS. Okay. Max POS, I think is what it's called. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious what rules apply more to the bar scene. So like, for me, waitressing, I like, my rule is y'all sit down and stay seated. I feel like the bar scene is a different.
It is. Know. It's a lot more fast paced, and it is a whole different game dealing with that volume, especially when everyone's like intoxicated. Honestly. Just be more patient. Wait patiently. I got you next. I see you. Don't worry. You don't be waving your money. You know, just wait. Like that the people that just like are waving and yelling, I'm like, I'm gonna wait for you last.
Yeah. The ones that are like snapping.
Yeah, it's like,
and they don't even realize
like,
that, yeah.
I feel like this is how I educate you. It's like, hey,
yeah.
It doesn't work like that here. Please and thank you goes a long way here.
Every time you mention that, I think about that's how I imagine the kids I serve at Cracker Barrel when they're like, oh, I'll do the I'm like, okay, we go in order. And I'm like, I feel like that's how drunk adults are, you know?
Some. Well, drunk adults are toddlers.
Yeah, really, though.
Very, very similar.
So that's the bar. Everybody clumps the bar and restaurant industry into one category. And I think on a large scale, it is in a subcategory. But there's very defined subcategories. Like bar and nightclub is very different than restaurant. Bar at noon on a Tuesday is very different than Saturday at midnight. Two different planets. So you go to society during lunch. You've got some young professionals. You've got working professionals. You've got pretty normal. It's a normal pace. It's kind of when you've got the managers doing the inventory and kind of the day-to-day tasks are happening. Go there at midnight, you're more likely to see the security and just kind of you have to have, unfortunately, and a bunch of drunk toddlers that are like, it's wild, man.
It's like baby-proofing a bar. He's like, all right, we got to make sure all these sharp edges are round. We got to make sure no one bumps into that.
Limiting, like, don't climb on that. Yeah.
Limiting liability. Yeah.
Get down. Get down. Get
off that table.
It's crazy, like, how many times I've told people to get down from the booths. This isn't a nightclub.
Well, you guys have it lit like a nightclub.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Do but people really climb on the tables?
Had it. Or my shifts, twice. I just give them that dad look, like, hey, you know better.
And yeah, and you're a big guy. I mean, you're not a small guy. You're a big guy. But you have some big security guards in there that are super. But I've never seen any trouble at that place. I think that everybody's pretty cool and just like, okay, we know what this is. There's four very large humans here that are guarding the place, so. Just gonna have our drinks, but every once in a while, you've got some college kid that's like
Well, just had, like everything.
Who just hasn't been checked yet.
I've had too many drinks.
Unfortunately, Thane will teach someone some manners. Thane is a very large man. He is our mountain.
Yeah.
He's so nice, though.
He is.
He's Every just, time I'm upstairs, cool I'm like, I just go hang
he's
out
so
with
sweet,
him.
He's so sweet, yeah.
He's very charming.
Although I would not want to be on his bad side. Like, I would, yeah. Like, he's a very nice
Fortunately,
guy.
Fortunately, I never will be.
Yeah.
No. Super I would never want to
yeah.
If he yelled at me, I would cry. I would stop doing what I was doing immediately and just be like, yeah. I'm so sorry.
What's the percentage of... I feel like girls try to throw hands faster than guys do sometimes. Is that... Am I...
Ah, at Ray's, I've had to kick out the same girl twice. Like, physically pick her up, put her outside, and then do it again because she ran
Adult
back
toddlers,
inside.
Like
yeah. Now, I want to say, you know, we usually stop fights before they happen. You know, like...
Well, you can see it coming.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's people getting into each other's face, we're like, all right, we're not going to do this. We're done here.
Yeah.
So I don't really see fights. Never at society. Braze, it was rare.
Yeah.
But the chicks, they do love pushing buttons. That's something I've learned and watched. They love talking shit. It's great. I love just watching it.
Very catty.
Well, guys, we're out of time, unfortunately. This has been a lot of fun, though. We're going to have to do this again. The fun is we can just push record anytime we want to and just do it. So
and just talk.
But I feel like there are so many stories yet so many to stories. Be told.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's Tabby Hour. I think that's kind of the, and I'll end it with kind of the vision of Tabby Hour is that we can just sit down with friends and just have a cocktail.
I love
Almost
this.
Like a happy hour, but Tabby Hour.
But so, mo better.
Mo better. All right. See you guys soon.